Attention, FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your morning show prep begins now.
Thank you for coming by live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Max 910 Talk Radio. For guys, it's the Rick Emerson Show live. Live, I say, from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Unlike almost everything else on your radio dial at this particular time in your life, thank you for being here. It's 503-535-9100 on this Monday, March 14th. 503-535-9100. If you're outside of Portland, for some reason known only to you, it's 1-877-535-9100. 1-877-535-9100. If you're in Vancouver and you got something to do between Walmart openings, you can call us at that number. You can also email us if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. About what things might you email or call us today? Well, I'll tell you. First up, and this is not so much a tease as just as a thing we don't have time to tell you right now. But we have a big announcement coming up next hour. In the second hour. In hour number two, as Jim Rome would say on the program. We have a big announcement coming up. That is coming up in the second hour of today's program. Let's see what else. We have a non-suicide-inducing top five we're going to get through today. You would not believe, well, maybe you would, the number of people who approached me over the week told me that they were reduced to tears like small children. On Friday by our top five most depressing songs ever recorded, which was so popular that we're going to do a mini version of that every Friday from now on. I think every Friday we'll just roll out one song, makes you want to eat the gun. But coming up today, we'll do the top five songs about days of the week. We'll do that today. Top five songs about days of the week. That's coming up in the third hour. We'll find out what soon-to-be has-been celebrity is giving career advice to Michael Jackson. We have more proof today that children ruin everything they touch. And we'll have more reasons for you to avoid church meetings whenever and wherever they may happen. If you needed more of those. Dennis at Glasgow is going to be here with the sports update. Now, you know, last week we completely failed because we were running behind. We didn't plan to fail so much as we failed to plan, my friends. Last Monday when Dennis Glasgow was here, because we were running late because Jolie was here, and then a thing happened, and I forget exactly how it went, but we didn't get the abused Dennis Glasgow call of the week. So today, we'll have to do that. So he's going to be around 11 o'clock, about an hour and 50 minutes from now. Dennis Glasgow will be here with a look at your sports. And during that segment, we will need some abusive and humiliating call directed at him from you. So don't call yet, but just be thinking about it. Be thinking about what you may want to do. What else do we have? Well, we have... The news has really reached epidemic proportions. And I realize that that's a statement that I say a lot, and it comes out of my mouth in a lot of different guises. But I believe that even Tim would acknowledge today that the news has really reached... It's become where my desk area is now like one of those old guys from the VFW hall that they find at age 98 and he's killed because his stack of Saturday evening posts has tipped over and crushed him. And he was then eaten by his pets. And they didn't discover it until the stench of rotting filth alerted the neighbors. That's kind of what our prep area has become. We had, as of this morning, and this is just a cursory glance at the news file, we had, as of this morning, four Britney watches. And I'm not, there's not the Britney watches we've done. This is all things that are on the to-be-done pile. We had four Britney watches, four geek watches, and five penis watches. I mean, the fact that we live in a world in which we would have five penis... It's only been like a week, right, since we really were up to speed on things. I mean, we were caught up last Monday. As caught up as this show ever gets, anyway. As of last Monday, we were on top of things. We were, as Britney Spears herself would say, styling and profiling. And in the course of 1 week, We got five penis stories behind. Kind of a weird freaking culture we living in where there's five. That's one horrific penis story a day. It doesn't even seem right. Well, we'll get to that. We started to get caught up on the It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. That was before the weekend came. I got three fantastic submissions, each more horrifying than the last. Today's It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard, by the way, is we are going to get to it. It's a special one because it combines everybody's two favorite things, alternative music and preschoolers. So we'll get to that today.
What up?
Well, never mind. There's no point in teasing the rest. We're here with the lovely Sarah X. Dillon, as we are each and every weekday.
Hello.
Who's dressed in Robin's Egg Blue and looking ready to take on the day. How are you?
I'm a little premenstrual today.
You know what you look like today? You have the look of a woman who came in and found that all tasks were being done flawlessly and executed perfectly, that you were surrounded by a staff of the most trained and competent air personnel, that you were preceded on the air by a man who does everything exactly as he should, doesn't ever leave the studio when a traffic report's coming down, doesn't ever ask you why you don't do his job when he's not in the studio to do it himself.
Can you believe that?
Surrounded by the cleanest colons in town.
Which Sarah, I'll say it because she's too polite to. Sarah comes to the studio at like 8:55 this morning. And you hear coming out of the, we have a little thing called a cue speaker. And a cue speaker is like a, it's like a little tiny intercom speaker that's underneath the countertop, and it's so you can hear something that you don't want to be broadcasting over the air.
It like goes on behind the curtain.
Yeah, it's like a closed circuit speaker feed. So if somebody is sending you a traffic report or a sports feed or something from a satellite or from the another part of town, or you're taping something off the air to be played back later, it lets you hear it without putting it in the same speakers as what's ever on the air, so you can kind of keep the two things separate in your head. So she comes to the studio like 5 minutes ago, and you hear this.
Sir, that's your Max 910 traffic report. I'm Brian with Metro Travis,
or whatever it is, which is all well and good, except that Travis, the guy who purportedly runs IMUS in the morning, I mean, allegedly, like not in here, nowhere to be found, gone. No one knows where he is. Traffic's not being taped by anybody, which means that when it comes time to play it back, he'll just be playing back something from an hour ago that's completely useless. So I'd like to encourage anybody who uses Max 910 for the traffic information in the morning to take it with the easiest grain of salt. That's all I'm saying. Tim Riley's of the Max 910 Newsroom working on the following stories for you today.
We're going to hear from the woman taken hostage by a murdering madman in Atlanta who lived to tell about it. Fire in the sky, a meteor lights up northwest skies over the weekend. Did
Fantastic.
You see it at your house?
At Clyde's wedding himself, probably. Mm-hmm.
And a 45-year-old gentleman who released chipmunks cut from his garden and shared his homegrown vegetables with those who had none, opens fire, killing fellow parishioners in his own church, saving the last bullet for himself as he meets his maker. Or is it Satan?
Well, that ended badly. Moving on, I was watching a lot of VH1 this weekend. I'm sorry, there's nowhere to go for that.
Wow.
There's nowhere to... I want to note, by the way, that I have in my hand, and I brought it here, so I can dispose of it.
Ooh, is that pizza?
It is. This is from Rovente, I believe.
That is my favorite pizza establishment.
I have here in my hands... I can't swear that it's Rovente, but I think it is.
That looks like their to-go box.
I didn't order this. Lara ordered this. I have half a medium pizza. It's four slices of their... It's like a house combination. Which I will give to anyone here who wants it. If not, it's going to be thrown away.
Because how long has it been sitting on your counter?
Since yesterday. So
okay.
Last night. So, what do you, Clyde? You know that Italian food's better the next day anyway.
No, you things fester on your counter for weeks and weeks, and then you still eat them.
Yeah, well.
It's a little gross.
Not anymore, because today it's a brand new me. Today I'm turning over a thin leaf.
It's a diet.
Today I start my diet. I don't say to be girly, but just because, as I noted last night, I've just become squashy. And I don't need to go through my life looking like Bridget Jones. That's not a thing I need to do. So starting today, it's a brand new healthy Rick. I'm going to be shoveling lard into my mouth no more. So I will either give that to you, or I can just put it, you know what, I can just put it in the kitchen. The salespeople will swarm out like so many festering fire ants to take it away.
Have you been riding your bike?
Or
I've been a bike riding whore lately.
Bike riding whore.
Seriously, I rode like 20 miles this weekend.
That's fantastic. I'm going to start introducing you as a singing, tap dancing, bike riding whore.
That's okay.
I'm writing that down right now. She's a bike riding whore. Turn it up.
Bike
riding whore. That is fantastic. No, I'm actually, the bike's getting worked on right now. I'm getting the brakes needed to have a little tweaking done to them. And if I do that myself, I'll just break it. So the bike is in the shop right now, having the brakes adjusted. I want to thank our friend Mick, who heard me bitching last week how they, because, you know, my truck got stolen. They found the truck, but weasels had kept the bicycle. And so this guy, Mick, was given a bike when he joined the gym, didn't use it, blah, blah, blah. I went over and picked it up. It's working out very well. I'm getting the brakes tweaked and some other things done. But then I'll be, then I too will be a bike riding whore.
It's fantastic.
So, yeah, so I just, I don't have the bike yet. I won't have it for a couple days. So I got to cut the cord today.
Yeah, well, eating better isn't anything without a little exercise, Rick Emerson.
Thank you, Richardson.
So I'm throwing it away. So you can have this pizza, sir.
You know, I'm not gonna make you happy by making myself a little bit.
Combination.
No.
Sausage.
No, I'm eating Thai food for lunch.
Cheese. It's got that crisp, thin crust.
Okay, let's break.
Snaps satisfyingly when you. Anyway, so there's that. What else? Well, that's it. Because I didn't do anything else this weekend. This is the part where I tell you what I did, but I did bupkis. I did jack. Because VH1 did this thing where they sprung these marathons up. Tim was watching it. What were you watching? A Project Greenlight marathon?
Yeah, it was on yesterday afternoon.
Project Greenlight season 1 was on Bravo.
Yeah, and then it's glued to the set.
VH1 Classic has done this thing where they have now, because I just don't feel old enough. VH1 has done this thing where each weekend day, in other words, each Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, they are marathoning a different, quote, classic program from the annals of television history, from the music programming. So on Saturday, it was a storyteller's marathon, which is, it's just like Behind the Music, where you find yourself watching storytellers where the artist comes and plays a bunch of songs, then has a little in-studio audience that tells you the stories behind the songs. And you find yourself watching the storytellers, bands you couldn't care less about. I can't tell you how little I care about the story behind some song by the Electric Light Orchestra. But there I am, you know, watching Jeff Lynn. Let me talk to you about Don't Bring Me Down. You know, why am I watching it? No one knows. There I am. That's it. That, Tom Petty, Phil Collins. The fact that I would sit there and voluntarily watch Phil Collins talking about Sissis Studio and trying to explain whatever sociological import it has, it's ridiculous. So that was the extent of my weekend. So we'll do this. We'll take a break. We come back. Religious Nutcase Watch. Britney Watch. Jackson Watch. Geek Watch. Penis Watch. Florida News. Top 5 sports news. And a huge announcement coming up next hour.
Hey!
Back after this, here's Trey Parker and Matt Stone's The Man Song live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay right there.
What makes a man? Is it the power in his hands? Is it his quest for glory? Give it all you got, Dale. To fight to the top, so we can know your story. Now you're a man.
Man.
Now you're a man. Man. You are now a man. You're a man. Now you're a man.
All right, we begin everything with Tim Riley around the corner with the Max 910 9 o'clock news hour. You stay there. We're live from Portland. We continue after this. All right, 503-5-5-9-1-0. I don't know what I was just doing. Okay, you can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. It's Monday. Here's Tim Riley, the Max 910 News.
It's not just news. It's news that hurts. With Tim Riley, only on Max 910.
Did you see this at your house? A flaming object spotted streaking through the Saturday night sky across western Oregon.
Was Harvey Fierstein in town again?
And we're okay. Just starting.
It's only 9:22. Listen to that razor-sharp wit.
Now, this thing was seen all the way from Northern California to Seattle, even Yakima. Apparently, this is some kind of meteor or a shooting star, and it just exploded into a million pieces before hitting anything.
All right. Well, Clive is somewhere nude and...
I mean, it was the perfect time for Clyde.
Covered in peanut butter, just reading that story over and over again.
Meanwhile, police arrested one man looking for a second who promised to give a young lady a ride home that they met and befriended at a Beaverton bar.
How could that go wrong?
They beat her instead and threw her out in front of the Tannis Bourne Radio Shack.
Well, there you go. There's your answer.
This witness tells Fox 12.
She was saying the guys were acting kind of psychotic and wanting to, like, kill her one second or yelling and screaming at her one second, but then being, like, kind of nice to her the next. And that's that type of thing. It's like a textbook psychosis.
Okay. I'm sorry. So they beat her at a Tannis Bourne Radio Shack.
No, they threw her out in front of a Tannis Bourne Radio Shack. After they promised to give her a ride home. And the Radio Shack wasn't even open.
Any weird guys you meet in a bar who offer to give you a ride home somewhere in the Tannis Bourne area are not good news. Now we should do a little behind-the-scenes discussion here. Now, there's four microphones in the studio. There's my microphone, there's Tim's, and then there's two guest microphones for Dennis and Jolie and Ed Al. Now, they haven't given me one for reasons unknown to me, but Tim's microphone, the two guest microphones, have all had these huge windscreens put on them today, like these big pieces of foam. So I don't know why they opted not to give me one, but I was under the impression, because these are the microphones, the Rick Emerson Show broadcasts exclusively on the Electro Voice RE20
the
microphone.
Best, top of the line.
Really is the best microphone in the entire world. But I was to understand that these microphones that we use right here with the metal screen, that they have an internal screen, and so that you are not supposed to put external windscreens on them.
I believe you're right.
Now, is it just me, or does he sound muffled?
Do I sound muffled?
You sound muffled.
All right, well, let me take the second
off
right
now.
I think
it'll
hang on,
that.
Folks.
All right,
I'm
going to take the... Yeah, because the...
There we go.
That's one of the big...
Yeah,
there
that sounds
you go.
A lot
that
better.
Sounds a
lot
I'll
better.
Speak without protection.
Well, that's one of the big selling points of the RE20 is that it's got a windscreen. I don't mean to geek out about microphone stuff, but it's got a windscreen inside that's permanent.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put it... Like,
you should keep it on the chunky ones, though, over there.
Well, yeah, because those have got...
Well, we have an... Would you like to try one?
No, let's
see. Oh,
well, see, because listen. Because, you know, because no offense to Lycus, because, you know, I wouldn't want to touch these microphones either. But when he comes here, he brings a windsock. Well, you know, because it's like...
I have a screen. I have a wind thing.
Contract. Yeah, but you've got a different microphone, though. You've got a Shure.
It's the same thing as in the news booth.
Yeah, I think that's a Shure microphone to use over there, which is...
It's not as good.
It's just... It's crap. Which does not have... It doesn't have a windscreen on the inside, so you have to have one on the outside. So it's... All microphones should have a windscreen. Just this one is built in. So I think if I put another one over it, it just starts to sound all muffly.
Oh, your voice gets all deep and
see if I put it over
sultry.
Like this.
Sounds like you're at a drive-up in North Dakota.
Is that where I'm supposed to see?
It sounds a lot more
hollow. Try some love songs.
Does it make me sound masculine?
No, it makes you sound like more hollow. It's weird. It makes you sound flat.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to take this back off.
We can't have
see,
that.
See, without it, I get the resonance. I get crispness there. So, all right. Anyway. Wasn't that fascinating? Here's Tim Riley.
This is interesting. These are longer sound bites than usual, but this lady has a story to tell. She's a hero, as a matter of fact. The Fulton County Superior Courthouse in Atlanta is open for business again today. Days after three killings, a judge, a court reporter, and a deputy killed their suspect, Brian Nichols, will not have his first court appointment today, as scheduled. This after he entered and held Ashley Smith hostage in her apartment outside of Atlanta over the weekend.
Now, this is the court killer, the guy that killed the
bailiff?
The court
killer, yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's start this whole thing. We have Ashley Smith here, the woman who was kidnapped. Here she is when she came home to her apartment and she tells what happened.
I put my key in the door and I unlocked it and I turned around and he was right there.
No.
And I started to scream and he put a gun to my side and he said, "Don't scream. If you don't scream, I won't hurt you." So I said, "All right, okay."
Okay, so we're just starting here. This is a little bit long, but we're going to let it go because it's a very good story. She then gives an account of the harrowing events that followed that day.
He looked around my house for a few minutes. I heard him opening up drawers and just going through my stuff. And he came back in and he said, "I want to relax, and I don't feel comfortable with you right now, so I'm going to have to tie you up." He brought some masking tape and an extension cord and a curtain in there, and I kind of thought he was going to strangle me. I was really kind of scared. But he told me to turn around and put my hands behind my back. And he wrapped my hands in a praying position, so I did that. And he wrapped masking tape around my hands. And then he told me to go into my bedroom, and I sat down on the bed like he asked. And he wrapped my legs with masking tape and an extension cord. He also took a curtain and put it around my stomach. And he asked me if I could get up. And I told him, I got up. He said, "Can you walk?" And I said, "No." So he picked me up and took me to the bathroom. And he put me on a stool that I had in my bathroom. He said he wanted to take a shower. So I said, okay, you take a shower. He said, well, I'm going to put a towel over your head so you don't have to watch me take a shower. So I said, okay. All right. He got in the shower, took a shower, and then he got out of the shower, and he had the guns laying on the counter. But I guess he really wasn't worried about me grabbing him because I was tied up.
So then by this point, she's been talking to him for a while, and then he begins to trust her.
He asked me what I thought he should do. And I said, I think you should turn yourself in. If you don't turn yourself in, is what I said. If you don't turn yourself in, lots more people are going to get hurt, and you're probably going to die. And he said, I don't want that to happen.
Now, this is going on all day, so she's cool as a cucumber.
Well, it's bizarre that I guess it's good, but it's just bizarre that he wouldn't have just shot her. Since he's already killed, like, five people or whatever by this point.
So then he even asked if he could stay in the apartment for a few days.
Of course, I said, sure, you can stay here. I wanted to gain his trust. Most of my time was spent talking to this man about my life and experiences in my life, things that had happened to me.
So then Smith gives him a pep talk.
Told me that he was already dead. He said, look at me. Look at my eyes. I am already dead. And I said, you are not dead. You are standing right in front of me. If you want to die, you can. It's your choice.
So then during this period of time, she had told him that she had to leave the house to pick up her daughter by some time, and finally he let her go. And as soon as he let her go, she went to her car, picked up her cell phone, and called 911, and that was the end of it.
Yeah, well, Sarah totally nailed it just now. That's totally like a weird Hannibal Lecter, Clarice Starling.
Well, it's weird because listen to her talking about all of her... She spent the day talking to him about all of her personal problems.
Well, you know that you just know this is going to be one of those things where he's going to be in prison, and she's going to be sending him letters. She's going to be going to visit him. I mean, you can already tell that there's some weird... I mean, not that there's anything wrong with her, but obviously they had some weird connection thing going on. I mean, probably, unless she was just trying to keep him happy, but it sounds like they had some weird, horrific bonding thing going on.
Kind of the religious nutcase watch.
Here's your religious nutcase watch from Monday on the Rick Emerson Show. No.
From Wisconsin, the cheese state. It was just another weekend service for churchgoers in this Milwaukee suburbs when, without warning, they began to be gunned down by one of their own. Now, victims' relatives are struggling to keep their faith and find answers. Terry Ratzman, a button-down churchgoer known for sharing homegrown vegetables with his neighbors and freeing chipmunks who became trapped in chipmunk tracks, walked into the room and police said he fired 22 bullets from a 9mm handgun within a moment. Ratzman apparently turned on worshippers when it was over seven people, including the minister and his teenage son were killed, and four others, including the minister's wife, wounded. Ratzman, 44, then shot himself, then slumped against the back wall with four rounds left in his gun. A parishioner said he reloaded that gun once.
Each shot, you thought, oh my God, is one going to hit me? I do believe that he was trying to kill everybody in the room.
This woman, who saw Ratzman walk out of the sermon last week, comments.
I think he had issue with the topic of the sermon. I know one of the things that was mentioned in the sermon was that there's going to be a spiritual war within the next 5 to 10 years. I remember,
or later today,
Terry Ratzman hopped up, and I thought maybe he had used the bathroom in a hurry. I just glanced at him.
Well, and the news is kind of whitewashing this a little bit, because if you read into the story, they're sort of painting these guys as just like a bunch of Mayberry Christians that were there having an ice cream social after their church service, but they're clearly some like crazed right-wing cult that's all
this
about the end,
a,
the end of times prophecies.
Based in North Carolina.
Yeah.
It says happening.
What else do you really
this is
know?
The This is ironically called the Living Church of God. This grew out of a schism from the Worldwide Church of God, which was founded in 1933 and focuses on end-time prophecies.
So the end of the world is coming soon and we're all going to perish.
This year, the group's leader, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, wrote that events prophesized in the Bible are beginning to occur with increasing frequency.
Well, there you go.
The church has, well, had 6,300 members in 40 countries. This man is a 44-year-old computer technician who lived with mother.
All right.
Well, I guess
I don't really know where else there is to go from
I
there.
I think that's enough, don't you?
There you go. So, and heathens and pagans live another day. There's your religious nutcase watch.
To be studied here was he would release chipmunks caught in traps that he set in his yard. Why were these traps set to catch these chipmunks in the first place?
I have no idea.
So that he could come across as a good Samaritan while planning these things?
He could be a godlike figure to small helpless creatures. The only thing, I mean, I don't know if I mentioned this, but my, speaking of religious nutcases, my stupid family, I mean, I don't even want to talk about it, but I, you know, my older brother, who I will not, I shouldn't even name which one it is. I don't want to single him out, but
call him Bob.
No, because I have a brother named. It's not Bob.
It's Ken.
No, it's my brother Wayne. My brother Wayne. I think I mentioned actually a few weeks ago that he was and is and has always been a member of this bizarre nutcase right wing religious cult. But it was always they were always creepy and dumb but harmless. And so now, I mean, I'm going to spend a lot of time on this, but my brother Wayne and his equally bizarre family and all of the kids and all of the grandkids last week, just without warning, without announcement, see if this sounds familiar to you. They all picked up and they moved to Texas to live in a tiny small town with others of their faith who believe that they are living in the end times and that they alone will be spared when Jesus Christ comes back.
Yeah, he'll spare Texas, all right.
Just come back and kill everybody. So my mom's all distraught about it because my mom didn't get a chance to say goodbye to any of her grandkids, any of her great grandchildren, because my nutcase brother and his family just packed all their crap into a seat. Seriously, it's like my brother, his wife, and my brother never really manifested any symptoms of, and I want to make clear that this is not my younger brother, who is relatively normal. It's one of my older brothers, who never manifested any symptoms of craziness. I mean, you know, he was kind of extremely religious, but so were many people in small, dumb farm towns. You know, what are you going to do? So it's my brother, his wife, their three kids, all of their spouses, and all of their children. So it's like 22 people, all just packed up. You know, over the course of 1 week, they loaded all their stuff in Ryder trucks and U-Hauls, and they vanished from this tiny farming town outside of Kennewick to some even tinier farming town in Texas. Didn't say goodbye to my mom, didn't say goodbye to any of us, just packed all their crap, vanished, no forwarding address, no phone number. So I'm basically only going to be able to track my brother on CNN now. So it's just, man, there's something strange in the air out there.
Well, here's something to cheer you up, because you were talking about this recently. Condi Rice is denying she'll run for president.
Yeah.
I don't want to run for president of the United States.
I will not run.
I do not intend to run for president. No, I will not run for president.
Parse those words some more.
I don't know how many ways to say no in this town.
Yeah, okay. She also said she was pro-choice, which is not going to go over too well with the red staters.
Mm-hmm. So, it's going to be her and Hillary Clinton.
Oh, I can't wait. This is going to be the best thing. See, that's the thing. It's just like a predator versus alien thing. You know, we're like, whoever wins, we lose. Because Hillary Clinton's obviously crazed and unstable and bent on. She's sort of like that Futurama thing where it's Richard Nixon's head on the big cyborg, killbot body. So, Hillary Clinton's clearly not going to be a good president. We're all going to end up just hosed if she's elected. But to me, that's all about the journey. It's not about the destination. I will pay any amount of money right now, especially because that's going to be a thing that splits loyalties everywhere. Because on the one hand, you've got this incredibly left-wing, bleeding-heart woman running, you know, woman running for president. On the other hand, you've got Condi Rice running, who's conservative, but who is black and pro-choice. I mean, just what? Here's the thing. And I know that God already failed me once. He was apparently busy saving people in Wisconsin from a gunman. Or kind of. So he didn't come together. He didn't come through on the Michael Jackson thing last week. But I'm telling you right now, I will give
the rest of that pizza.
I will give the rest of this pizza, and I will give the rest of this pizza and like a month's salary
to a
charity of Jesus' choice if he puts Hillary up against Condi Rice in 2008. Because I want to see Republicans have to go to the polls and vote for a pro-choice black woman just to keep Hillary Clinton out. I mean, that really is the definition of Hobson's choice. You could probably hear my in-laws' heads exploding from here. It's going to be a good time for everybody. We really are living in the end times. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back. It's 503-535-9100. More around the corner. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. You stay right there. We will continue next.
To the Rick Emerson Show on Max 910. Talk radio for guys. Everything else is crap, and it's not even local crap. Rick Emerson is live and local. Weekdays from 9 till noon, Max 910. Talk radio for guys.
Between like a comic book convention and like a Kiwanis meeting?
Yeah.
The church in Wisconsin. I was reading a little further into the article where the woman described how the guy next to her was halfway through a prayer to Jesus to spare his life when he was shot in the face.
No, this is like the church.
I guess the moral is start praying earlier. You know what? You know, it's like being cut off halfway through your Western Union call. And this church was at a Sheraton. Which reminds me when I was young and Catholic. And we were busy building a new church, and the church had to be constructed, and we had to raise money, and you know, we had to do bake sales and whatever it is. What is it? Bingo games and crap. And God, and it's like as the church was being built, I mean, it was literally being built from the ground up. And so we had this church meetings, just like an H&R Block, you know, like after hours that some guy worked at. Just depressing. Here's Tim Riley in the Max 910 newsroom.
I have a very, very long and extensive Britney watch.
There by the record machine, I knew he must have been about 17. The beat was going strong. Play my favorite song.
Here's your Britney watch for Monday.
Part one. Britney plans to stop babbling about her personal life in magazines and start living it through her music. She writes on her website she feels a recent article on her in Allure magazine focused too much on her personal life and details of her past. She says she's already dealt with those issues and is ready to move on. She says, in the future, I will refrain from discussing my private life in interviews. I will be expressed solely through art.
What else? Exactly what else are they supposed to focus on in Allure magazine if they're not going to talk about that? Have you seen that new... is it the new song? What is that song, that Do Something? Is that her new single?
Oh, I haven't seen it. Is it bad?
God, it is the worst thing. It is so bad.
I thought her new single was about, wasn't she referring to herself as something?
Mona Lisa?
Yeah,
oh, but
yeah.
That's not recorded yet, though. That was like a demo.
Oh, that must be part
of
her new
raw.
Art.
That was the raw, like, club demo that she's kicking out
she's
there
in
the, on the road. Yeah, when she's, you know. Now, this new video, Do Something, it's so bad. But I mean, even with all of her fame, her fortune, her money, her success, I felt embarrassed and bad for her. Do you know what I mean? It's that where you're watching it, and you can't turn away because you know you have to watch it all the way to the end to see exactly how low this like train full of crap goes. But at the same time, your skin is trying to, your skin is literally like crawling off your body because the video is so bad. And I've got the song. We'll play it later. I brought the song with me because I don't know if y'all had heard it. But the video actually starts, and then we have to get back to the Britney watch. The video actually starts with her in a giant pink SUV. It's a pink Hummer. Yeah. It's her and... No, it gets worse. It's her and three of her... Because the latest thing that she's stolen from Madonna... Do you remember that thing in the late 80s and the early 90s when Madonna was always walking around with that posse of like, identical black women? You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. And every, well, like Gwen Stefani's doing right now with
the Asian girls. Every, well, because everything that a female performer could do now, Madonna has already done and better. And that's just kind of the way that it is. But... So, you know, you got to steal from the best, I guess. But Madonna had this thing, like, during the Vogue era, when she would pop up at, like, the VMAs, and she would be flanked on either side. But I don't know if they were twins or if they were just made up very similarly. But these sort of intense-looking, like, Secret Service-esque sort of black women, they had this whole thing where they would, like, do synchronized smoking and whatnot. And it was all very choreographed. And anyway, so Britney's doing the same thing where she's, like, flanked by these women that are all in the identical outfits. But the video starts with them driving a gigantic pink Hummer through the sky. It looks like the beginning of the third Harry Potter film where they've stolen the flying car from the Weasleys and they're on, right before they get hit by the Whomping Tree or whatever the hell that is. So they're flying through the sky in this giant pink Hummer, which is sort of careening wildly from side to side. And then it cuts to her... Then it's like every goddamn Britney Spears video. It cuts to her in a club, dancing with her peeps.
Rubbing herself?
Rubbing herself and then gyrating nude on a bed. I mean, it's like...
Again?
Again.
She just did that.
In fact, I made notes to myself, which we will not get to now, but we will play this. I brought the song with me. Because the song starts bad, and when you think that it's bad enough, it just gets unbelievably bad. So we'll play that later on. I don't want to get derailed. Here's page two of your Britney one.
Well, the Spears couple are planning to launch their own line. They want to call the company Pair of Dice because they think that dice are lucky for them. I've got a lot of good ideas about fashion, and I want to put them out there. I'm going to see where this business goes. I want to do some cool casual stuff like jeans and T-shirts and sweatsuits. And I want to hit the flip side, high-end classy stuff, too.
What do you think of Kevin Federline? You think high-end and classy. Oh, God. Isn't it true that don't they have matching dice? Isn't that the thing they have matching
pink? Yeah, they're tattoos. No, he has blue, she has pink.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, because her career and everything else in her life has been so lucky since she got that ghetto tattoo.
It's really work. It's like some reverse Midas touch. Everything she touches just turns to feces.
This comes to us from Teen Hollywood. Britney Spears is offering Michael Jackson some strange advice on how to get his life back together. He should get drunk and start a fight in a bar. She believes Jackson needs to adopt a more masculine persona.
Picture now. Let's everyone stop and picture Michael Jackson getting drunk and starting a fight in a bar.
It'll probably be... I mean, Chuck E. Cheese would probably be his bar of choice.
Can you picture Michael Jackson going up to some guy and just trying to throw it? Just talk about one hit, that guy's just going to come apart like balsa wood.
Well, he needs to adopt a more masculine persona and get a girl in a punch-up to help toughen him up, okay, regardless of whether he's guilty or not of the allegations. She tells Allure magazine, if he did those things, I feel sorry for him. I feel like he probably feels alone and needs some help. He needs someone to be like, okay, let's buck you up, give you a mustache, let's rough you up, and let's go to a bar, let's get drunk and be a man. And if he doesn't do these things, I feel sorry for him. Either way, he needs to get in a fight.
Okay, here's page four of your Britney watch.
When it comes to her new hubby, Britney Spears' Federline may have created a monster. Lowdown here is that the scantily clad Pop-Tart has grown increasingly envious of all the recent attention given to Kevin, whom she married in September. Federline, we all know, has no current career to speak of. Rap ambitions aside, has enjoyed a media boomlet in recent weeks and graces the April cover of Details magazine. A low-down spy with an inside knowledge of the Britney-Kevin marriage reports. Britney's very jealous of Kevin's new fame. She's obsessed with it. She thinks every girl in America wants her man. And that just isn't cute.
Is she high?
Seriously. When is the last time she took a long,
I have
long
never
look at that guy?
Heard anyone refer to him as attractive, ever.
He's just a skeez.
He looks like a little rat boy.
He does. He does. He looks like something that you'd find down by the wharf.
He looks like a guy who knocked up a bunch of people.
Yes, seriously. I mean, whatever. I can't imagine what Details... On the cover of Details... First of all, I didn't know Details magazine was still around. I thought Details magazine had gone the way of the dodo in, like, 93, 94. That was the thing that was popular, had kind of its last gasp of popularity when I was in high school. I thought it had sort of bitten the dust. What would Details magazine find five pages to talk to Kevin Federline about? How is it you're really going to fill five, even if you use big letters and put a lot of pictures in there, a lot of pull quotes?
Gardening?
I can't fathom what it is he's going to hold forth on for multiple pages. Much less the idea that he's surrounded by women who somehow find him some irresistible hottie, which is just retarded on the face of it.
Melissa, this. A couple of weeks ago, they were in an L.A. clothing store and were trying something on, and Kevin was talking to the sales clerk. Brittany flipped out at her and said, quote, "I see what the hell's going on here," unquote. So they just left the store.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right, there you go. There's your Brittany watch. The video has got... I'll wait. I'm doing that thing again. We'll stop. We'll play it later on. I'll give it a blow-by-blow. Here's Tim Riley.
Let's see what's on the TV tonight on AMC. It's Girls, Girls, Girls with Elvis and Stella Stevens. A singer and a rich girl flirt with a tuna fisherman who moonlights in a Hawaiian nightclub. Wow, what a storyline.
Britney Spears should really be paying close attention.
Heck, at two stars.
Elvis's career arc. Oh, God. Maybe they'll
right after Roustabout co-stars Barbara Stanwyck.
This is on what channel?
This is AMC.
American Movie Classics.
A singing motorcycle bum joins a woman's carnival and romances her foreman's daughter?
Oh, it's brilliant. Maybe
people
they'll show
pay to see this
Clam Bake or something. Or it's hard to... What was that? It's Hard to Rumble in a Rickshaw or whatever the hell that other Elvis Presley film was. God. All right.
Then we have Juana Moon, starring Miguel Nunez Jr. Vivica the Fox. Banned from the NBA, a basketball player dresses in drag in order to play in a women's league?
Yeah, Juana Man. Sort of the White Chicks of 3 years ago.
Then we have Cadet Kelly starring Hilary Duff and Christy Carlson Romano. A 14-year-old deals with a cold-hearted captain after she reluctantly joins a military academy.
Did you think about Hilary Duff trying to convince everybody that she's going to Harvard? Is that the...
Taking
correspondence courses, which like every... Because Harvard, like a lot of other colleges, like BYU and a lot of other places, offers, you know, they can call them extension class or whatever. They're correspondence courses, which they just do as a money-making venture, which anybody... Hell, I could take them. But when you are a Harvard extension student, it just means you're like taking a bunch of crap through the mail. It's like you just get a bunch of things that arrive in a manila envelope that you... It's like doing your traffic safety packet when you're trying to get your driver's license. And so Hilary Duff has been trying to tell everybody that she's a Harvard student now because she's taken these correspondence mail order classes from them. And the Harvard Crimson or whatever the hell it is published like an entire full page editorial calling her a loser and a poser the other day. So that's she's starting to head a little south.
Now we have the Shield. An Armenian hitman aims to take down the strike team.
Now here's the great thing about tonight is that the Shield. What's today? Monday?
Today is Monday.
Okay, so I guess it's tomorrow that the Shield season premiere starts. Because it's on the front page of either USA Today or the Oregonian or something. Front page of the living section, the whole thing on the Shield, which I guess is tomorrow. Because Glenn Close joins the show as of this week. So it must be tomorrow at 10 on FX. So Glenn Close replaces David Aceveda as the head of the barn. On the Shield, which is just a fantastic program. It's one of the best shows on TV.
But here's the best one on tonight. When surgical tools get left behind. That's on at 8.
Having trouble sitting down. I can't figure out what's wrong with me.
I got a lot of iron in me.
What channel is that
on? That's
on
TLC.
On TLC, which is... Oh, that's the learning channel. When surgical tools get left behind. Oh, and
1 hour special.
And then followed by BTK Killer Next Door.
He never left his surgical tools behind.
Isn't it really redundant to put BTK killer? Like, couldn't you just put BT killer? It's kind of like the other guy heard some guy the other morning talking about the ATM machine.
I'm gonna make a note of this and send this to the TLC people. Here's Tim Riley.
Let's talk to comedian Drew Carey, who voices a robot named Cranky Casey in a new animated feature with robots, which was number one at the box office over the weekend. Americans will throw away their money at anything.
True.
Drew says the key to his humor is being in a good mood.
When I first started writing jokes, the thing I had to remind myself that I couldn't write any jokes unless I was in a good mood. So that was one of the side benefits, like, oh, I have to put myself in a good mood so I can sit down and write jokes and get to some kind of happy place. So I couldn't allow myself to be depressed or bummed out, or I couldn't write anything. And if I did write any kind of jokes, they'd all be really bitter, like, You know, sometimes you see comics make statements and they get a round of applause. They'll go like, isn't Bush stupid? And whoo. And then they think they said a joke or that's like their bit, but nothing counts except the laugh. And I couldn't get any jokes unless I was in a good mood.
Man, save it for the Leno show.
Save it for Oprah.
Drew, talk about your interaction with your many fans.
They always just come up and they say, hey, love what you do. Can I get an autograph maybe? And
no.
You know, take a picture with the kid. And that's usually all there is to it. When I'm with my friends, we're always laughing and hanging out. I have the best time with these guys all the time.
These are the dullest sound bites I've ever heard.
They're not lucky because we're famous or anything. They're just lucky because they're around, you know, 2 to 5 people that are having the best time of their life, and they get to join in and hear people just really enjoying themselves and living it up.
I guess we're spending time with them in real time.
Jesus, God, I mean, if Beige could talk...
Nick's just going to go outside and rake the backyard. Will you join me for that?
Want to come with me? I'm going to pick out some socks.
God.
I'm sorry. I got to wake myself. By the way, you're listening to KHJK Vancouver, Portland, KSLM, Salem, and Intercom Station. Bada bing.
In the picture, Be Cool, The Rock plays a gay bodyguard named Elliot. The role allows the actor a chance to add comedy to his growing resume. I sat down with him recently and asked The Rock to talk about his character.
That was a great thing about this character. Is he, you know, during the day, he's this badass. He's this tough badass that you see. And in his private time, he's comfortable in his own skin. He wants to put on the blue powder blue outfit, you know, like this. The blue suit with the red boots. Looking at the cowboy, you know, you like that, Tex?
See, it's ironic.
It's all gay people dressed.
Because every gay man must dress like he's auditioning for the Village People.
Yes,
that's a rule. It's the only thing you could possibly do.
We're not trying to nurture any stereotypes here, are we?
Like they've all got to dress like the hot cops on Arrested Development.
I hear they live.
Someone told me that's the way those people dress.
And we should embrace that lifestyle.
I'm trying to be true to the lifestyle.
Yeah. Rock, please discuss the possibility of doing more comedy roles in the future.
I've been getting a lot of comedy scripts.
Could we be so lucky?
A lot of things now. It's like, Rock and Vince Vaughn is going to be the best thing.
Oh,
and,
God.
There's a lot of comedy.
Let me tell you right now.
Which is a good thing. And I love comedy. I've always loved comedy. And specifically, I love self-deprecating comedy and well-written comedy and giving yourself up to the joke. But there's been a lot of comedy coming my way, and I'd love to. It takes time, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
In terms of it just took time.
You can't rush these
things. I've always wanted to do comedy, but it took this, me hosting Saturday Night Live a couple of times. It takes something like this to open more eyes.
He's heading to the gazebo to have a pop with Drew Carey.
Well, diamonds don't form overnight, Rob. Yeah. So let me just tell you right now. Let me just, something with you and Vince Vaughn is never going to be, quote, what it's all about. And something starring The Rock and Vince Vaughn is never going to be something that's, quote, great. I can save you that trouble. I can save you all the script development money. I can save you the production costs right now and tell you it's doggerel. Just give, look, I mean, they've already got it because he's like a big, muscly guy, and so they've got him at home wearing like a powder blue chiffon slippers. I can already save you the time and money. Just put him in a kindergarten teaching a bunch of children while he hunts a murder suspect. That's clearly the end of this road. That's where this goes, all right? We all know that you're going to end up guarding a dormitory full of, teenage soccer-playing girls or something. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's chalk some sense now and go to Florida, shall we? An Orlando senator is tired of seeing underwear. Well, he's not going to be hanging around with Sun Koo Kim now, is he? Democratic Senator Gary Saplin introduced a measure banning visible underwear in public and has proposed a 10-day jail sentence for violation.
Goddamn, I hate this country.
And this is a Democrat, mind you. He said he realizes he's going against the fashion trend for young men. However, he said he had to do something after getting so many complaints from parents. The senator says he may not push the bill. A similar measure passed in the Virginia House last month, but it was killed by the state Senate. Watch Local 6 News for more on this story.
Please do.
It says.
Whatever you do, don't miss that.
Maybe he can move to Texas with my brother.
Jesus.
The United States is hallucinating if it thinks Iran will scrap its nuclear fuel production plans in return for economic incentives, said a senior Iranian. Washington offered the encouragements in support of the European Union, which is negotiating with Tehran to try to persuade it to give up sensitive nuclear activities. U.S. officials are either unaware of the substance of the talks or they're hallucinating, says Sirius Nasseri, a senior member of Iran's nuclear negotiating team.
Iran says it needs atomic technology to generate electricity. It will never use it to make bombs, as the United States fears.
Look at the electricity in Iran possibly being used to power. What is there really to operate in Iran that needs a lot of...
Don't they have falafel stands or whatever you call those things there?
Something, maybe. I don't know.
Customers at a German supermarket chain will soon be able to pay for their shopping by placing their finger on a scanner at the checkout, saving the time spent scrabbling for coins and cards. A department store in the southwest German town of Rüsselsheim has piloted the technology since November, and now the company plans to equip its stores across the region. All customers need to do is register once with their identity card and bank details, and they can shop right away. The scanner compares the shopper's fingerprint to those stored in a database, along with account details. A boss who said they're confident the system could not be abused.
Sure. Anybody who's watched 24 recently knows that that's not the case. Well, hell, man, it's only... I mean, I'm going to be a Clyde Lewis about it, but it's only one step up from... I mean, is that thing about when you get, because you have to, when you buy cold medication or allergy medication or something now, you have to like show your ID?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's in Oregon.
Now, is that an Oregon law or is that a thing that the supermarkets here are just bending over for the state?
I believe that is an Oregon law, which must be followed.
So it is, so it's not the supermarket's discretion.
No.
It is a thing that the state is making them do. It was just, because there's nothing I like more than having the government track my purchases. Nothing that makes me feel better than the idea that every time I want to go buy a box of Claritin, that they have to enter my driver's license number into the machine so that the man can track when I'm... Let me just talk to you about the man for a second, then we'll get back.
Please
to
do. I want to hear about that.
So, you've all followed the saga of my truck being stolen a couple weeks ago and then found...
And returned.
Found... Only like a mile and a half from where I live, which is a little embarrassing, and we found out that what I speculated was in fact the case, that they abandoned the truck and then stole a nicer car. It was like three feet away. So they just took our truck until they could find something nicer, and it took them a whole mile to do it. So they were driving along, and they went, let's ditch this thing and steal that, that Pacer over there. So they ditch the truck, they steal whatever. The cops... And I'll say right here at the top that I want to thank the police for returning our vehicle. I appreciate that. They were polite. They were courteous. They were efficient about the whole thing. They did attempt to notify us early enough that we wouldn't have to pay the towing fee, because I know a lot of people think that that's a racket.
They protect and serve.
They did. They did call us. We missed the call, so we had to pay the little impounding fee, but that's not the fault of the police. I will say, though, that on Saturday, we got the creepiest damn thing in the mail from the Portland Police Department. And I don't know if you all have ever had anything stolen, like a car. I got the creepiest thing in the mail on Saturday. Because, you file a police... Pardon me. you file a police report, and you give me your name and address. You say, hey, my car was stolen, whatever. So we get this thing in the mail on Saturday from the Portland Police Department saying, we understand that your vehicle was recently stolen and returned. First of all, we are glad that your vehicle was found with a minimum of damage, and we hope we can serve you in the future. If you would like to take a preventative measure... Fill out the following form and return it to us. Anybody know what the preventative measure is? If your vehicle apparently is stolen inside the city of Portland, inside Multnomah County, and if it's, I guess it doesn't even matter if it's returned because they'll just do it for whatever other car you've got. The police send you a form, and you can fill the form out and send it back to them. And what it does is they will send you a sticker to put in the back of your car, to put in your car window, which then authorizes the police to pull over that car anytime it is seen driving between midnight and 6.
Ooh.
And search it and demand ID of whoever is in the car.
I couldn't have that.
No, and I understand that it's a thing you would, that they're not making me do, that it's a thing you would voluntarily do. But first, but you know that there's people who voluntarily do that. And secondly, how goddamn creepy is that? That the cop's suggestion to having my car stolen is that I just give them permission to pull me over any time the car is on the road between midnight and 6. And there's like no, there's no parameters or stipulations. It is like you fill out the form, send it back, and they can pull the car over. They can pull it over every 5 minutes, every night, for that matter. So, I mean, it's the creepiest thing. So, which we will not be taking advantage of, by the way. But, I mean, it's just unnerving in the extreme. The idea that, which I guess is maybe not so out of line with the American mindset now. Now that you've been the victim of a crime, will you voluntarily give up some civil liberties and rights? We'll make you safer. Here's Tim Riley.
I'm glad I live in the WC and we don't have that there.
So I don't think. Man, it's just freaky. It was just weird to read that was their suggestion. Not that they'll just stop things from being stolen, but that, I mean, it's like, why don't I just give them permission to come in my house anytime between noon and six if somebody's seen walking inside?
That form arrives today.
Seriously, think, if a black man is seen driving your vehicle between midnight and six, may we pull it over? Here's Tim Riley.
Top of the Hick Watch. To Maryland, which I thought was a sensible state.
No.
Apparently not.
No, they've got that Baltimore place there where everybody kills everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Bad place.
All right. Well, a ninth grader is protesting the broadcasting of the Pledge of Allegiance in foreign languages as part of National Foreign Language Week. This is America. We've got soldiers at war, said 15-year-old Patrick Linton. When you were saying the pledge in a different language, which no one understands...
No one anywhere
understands. That's not okay. Charles Linton, Patrick's father, said the use of other languages is disrespectful for the country. Now, get this. Quote, it's like wearing a cross upside down in a church. End quote.
Oh, that's bad. Patrick Linton, I would like to talk to you about a glorious place called Vancouver, the city of the future, where housing rates are low, 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 and you'll fit right in.
School system officials said the activity will continue with the English version of the pledge being read first for the rest of the week.
Right, there you go. There's your Hick Watch from Monday of the year. Says, I'm very frustrated at having to show my ID to buy cold medicine. Do you know how... Dear Lars, I am frustrated at having to show my identification. Do you know how impossible it is to try to buy flu medication at 10 p.m.? Well, that's the thing. Because if you go to any of those stores, after like 8 or 9 or 10, it's like the pharmacy's closed. And you got to go like track down some idiot customer service person to help you. So then, of course, you just get roped into buying everything at 7-Eleven, where there's like a 9,000% markup. Anyway, I asked the pharmacist. They don't track the ID numbers at all. They just figured that it's like recycling, you know, where they just do it to see if they can make you do it. They just figure if you're a meth junkie, you wouldn't be willing to share your ID. Yeah, honesty through paranoia. F-Matt with a nasal drip.
This F-Matt is brought to you by Barfly Magazine.
Yeah, same thing with recycling, man. I mean, let me ask you this. Is recycling mandatory? Like, do I have to recycle?
I believe so.
Oh, I didn't think you did.
Because I got the five different...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I got the brown thing and the blue box and the yellow box and the green thing, and then I got the plain old metal cans, which is just for like whatever else. But is that something? Do they like ding me for that? Do they? I don't ever look at my utility bill, so I don't even know if I'm getting fined for that.
No.
Is that a thing that is compulsory that I sort my garbage?
I don't think anyone checks. I mean, you could throw away a methamphetamine lab if you wrap it up in a green bags.
if I labeled it lawn waste.
Yeah. Spoken from a landlord.
Now, I always wonder if that's the thing that I'm being fined for because I don't recycle because it's a waste of time. Because it all goes into one big pile. It all goes into one big pile, one big hole in the ground, and the earth isn't fragile anyway. So I never bother to do it, but because we live in a place that's run by liberal hippie fascists, I always figure that I'm being screwed out of X number of dollars. Here's Tim.
Meanwhile, a dentist, Michael Gigliotti, wanted a relatively cheap last-minute flight from his mother's house in Florida to a natural gas auction in Texas, but a $552 bill for the late February trip quickly came up when a late boarding passenger complained he couldn't fit into the seat next to the 5'11", 300-pound Gigliotti. A supervisor from Southwest Airlines boarded the plane, crouched next to Gigliotti, and said he would have to pay for a second seat on the return flight, claiming the dentist's large frame would not fit entirely in the 17-inch wide space.
His large frame, that's a little bit of a polite news speaker.
He didn't feel humiliation, just rage. This won't hold up in court, he told the supervisor. It already has, was her response.
Bada-bing.
The airline seats are simply too small for a high percentage of the flying public, said Gigliotti. We're getting bigger, we're getting taller, we're getting wider.
I like how he says it as though it's a thing that's being done to him by some alien expansion being.
He's proud of it.
Like it's not a thing that he's actively participating in. Speaking of, I got to get rid of that pizza. I got to go put it in the kitchen. This story has sealed my decision.
I know, it's
decision.
Been here with me. I want you to get it out of here.
Well, you know, it's like I don't even fit into those Southwest seats all that well, and I weigh like half of what this guy does, so I can't. And we've all been next to that guy too. That guy just smells like last week's moldy cheese. You know, just sit, and his, you know, and his sweat is just slowly leaching over to your part of the seating area as you're sitting there. And that's always one of those things where the plane hits a thunderstorm and they've got a bank sharply to the right, and he sort of pours over onto you. It's just a bad, bad scene. Or he's the guy who has the window seat, and it's always this way. Some guy weighs like 15 stone. Who insists on sitting next to the window, thus obliging me to sit in either the middle or on the aisle. And, of course, what does he have to do? He has to get up and go to the bathroom like 9 different times during the flight. And then so it's like I either have to get up and stand in the aisle and get in the way of the beverage cart, or he's got to, like, you know, he's got to squeeze by me, thus sort of giving me the big, like, fold massage as he goes by me. Just a bad, bad scene.
Well, other carriers serving Pittsburgh, including United Airlines and Delta Air, have no large seating requirements. Hooters, in the meantime, which features slim, scantily clad Hooters girls as entertainment, has no such policy. We love large people, says Hooters Air President Mark Peterson.
Have some hot wings.
Hooters also flies from Pittsburgh to Myrtle Beach and has ever charged an extra seat. Fitting a large passenger on board has never been an issue in its 2 years as operating.
God, you want to talk about a way to ensure that you will stay single for the rest of your life and dateless? Let a woman see a receipt for Hooters Airlines anywhere on your credit card bill. Well, let's see. Should we try to get another at least part of a watch done here?
Yeah, we can.
How about a partial penis watch?
Tim Riley.
Look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start a-melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Well, it's back to Romania again. We end up here at least 3 times a week.
Is Romania sort of the Florida of that part of the world?
I guess it is.
All right.
There seem to be problems there. Romanian doctors have removed a man's wedding ring from his penis. The patient who is married has 2 children told doctors he had a one-night stand with another woman. He couldn't say how the ring got onto his penis, but suspected the mistress wanted to embarrass him because he fell asleep during sex. The man from Rivendio, Junior County, whose name was not revealed, will recover after the incident. He said it's not the first time he had to save people from embarrassing situations. In another case, a man came to the hospital with his penis stuck in a cola bottle. He looked like a very respectable fellow. He managed to remove the bottle without harming his sexual organ.
You know, this never happens to women. This is not a thing. I mean, to the best of my knowledge, we don't get a lot of news stories about the women going to heaven have anything unstuck from anything else. They're just more sensible about. I guess if they were more sexual aids manufactured for men, we wouldn't have this difficulty. Maybe this is the fault of product manufacturers for not offering any equivalent. No, I'm just saying. You go to the fantasy.
Everything is a sexual aid for you guys.
That really is true.
Let's go across the pond to the UK. A biker who lost his manhood in a freak accident now has 2 willies, but no wife. 40-year-old Michael Gruber is recovering in a hospital from his 140th operation since the 1997 crash. The latest was to grab another penis next to the one that formed from fat and muscle tissue after he smashed his groin. It functioned well enough to provide him and his wife, Bianca, with a son, ATN, a year ago. But it stopped working, and his wife left.
It stopped working. There seems to be a little bit of a... It's like when your hard drive just freezes up. Can we all agree that the phrase smashed groin is one of the least pleasant phrases we've heard in quite some time in this program?
It is.
All right.
Well, the doctor says when the new willy is strong enough to operate on its own, the first one will just have to go.
Oh, so this is like the thing where they put a patch on one of your eyes.
Oh, God.
So the other one can, you know, like when you have a lazy...
The world of tomorrow.
Like when you have a lazy eye.
One of them's just kind of hanging there?
Or like the... it's like when my mom was left-handed and they tied her left hand down so she had to become right-handed. That's sort of what this is.
Well, the victim says, for now, I'm a man with 2 willies and no wife. He moaned from his hospital bed.
Wait, now, where did the wife go, though? Where did the wife go?
It says she left him.
Once it stops working.
Mm-hmm. No, but he has 2. Well, she's kicking herself now.
Well, the first one isn't fully functioning yet.
No, but it will be.
Well,
seriously, if you had
2 of them not working isn't good enough.
Well, the problem is she's waited through 140 operations.
No, I swear, one more. It's almost there. I just got to tweak it. It's like a guy adjusting a rabbit ears on a 1970s television. No, hold on. A little bit to the left. No, damn. So I'm trying to get a picture straight on my living room wall. But seriously, if you like, if you had two penises, the first thing you'd do is get divorced. Like, if you somehow had two working penises, you would do everything you could to become single as soon as possible.
I just want a normal life, he said as he wiped away the tears.
Be single and double at the same time. Well, let's just continue the let's finish off the penis watches.
Yeah, we only have two more to
hear, and then we'll take a break. And here's what's coming up. We got a huge announcement, which we'll do. We've got that Britney Spears stuff. We've got a guy sent me the best thing. A guy sent me the intro bed for all the TalkNet programming. TalkNet, which was home of Bruce Williams, Lee Mirabal, Myrna Lamb. So some of you old school talk listeners may remember that. Because for the longest time, I've been doing that. Welcome, my friends. Welcome to my world. A guy sent me what he claims, I've never listened to it, but a guy sent me what he claims is the actual opening bed to the TalkNet shows.
And you know those phone calls you were playing back from that listener the other day?
Yeah,
it sounded just like Bruce Williams. I mean, the same type of
conversation. The guy was making the Satan noise?
Yeah.
Oh, when he went nuts? You're talking about when Bruce went nuts and had the cold
thing.
Medication?
I thought maybe you were playing the same thing over and over again.
No. Although somebody did have a great idea, though, of swapping up Bruce Williams for Bruce Willis in all those action movies.
Oh, yeah, that's
you know,
good.
Just, you know. So he could just do a lot of, yippee-ki-yay.
Well, a man ended up in a southern Philippine hospital yesterday after severing and eating his own penis. Ernesto Almonte is in stable condition.
I don't understand.
They did not confirm or report the act to the local. They said it was a bizarre act that was triggered by an erectile dysfunctioning problem. Asked about the patient's mental state, one staff member says, "Well, if you cut off your sex organ and eat it, apparently there is something wrong with you."
Who can argue with that?
Two boys whose penises were chopped off in a bizarre accident are back following a successful constructive surgery in Spain. These two fellas were accompanied by a doctor who helped to arrange the trip. They were received by representatives of an international community who donated, $185,000 for their treatment. The two men were attacked in Bagama last year by a cult-like group said to use the boys' penises as medicine. Doctor said one of those who greeted him, he said, "You never guess what they've been through. They were laughing and joking and jumping up and down."
Not too hard, though.
They can now live normally. But Oscar, one of the fellows whose testicles are irreplaceable, will forever have to use a patch on his wrist to supply male growth hormone.
Whose testicles are irreplaceable.
The surgery
I'd like
on both
somebody
boys,
to say that about me someday.
Apparently, the surgery went well. They're both brave.
I want that in my obituary. I want that on my headstone. Rick Emerson, 1973, 2040. His testicles were irreplaceable.
That's it.
All right. Let me read this really quickly, and then we'll break. Rick, I'm a pharmacist. Here's the deal. You currently have to show a government or school-issued picture ID. As the pharmacy, we don't have to check anything on it, he says. Just look at it. What the point? The hell is the point of that? The law doesn't require any logging of your ID. See, and the thing is, I'm enough of a troublemaker, even still. I mean, I am 32 years of age. I mean, I have been an adult for 14 years. But I'm still clearly stuck in school mode, where I'm just so irritated and angered by any authority figure trying to mandate that I show them any information to jump through any hoop. So I want to get a printout of this law and take it to Safeway and tell the next fat, stupid cow at the customer service counter that she can shove it when she wants to enter in my information. He says this is a temporary law that will soon be replaced by a permanent law. We will indeed someday have to record driver's license numbers and names and retain it for 2 years. Also restrict pseudoephedrine products sold by pharmacy, but only at a pharmacy, not at a 7-Eleven. FYI, if you need cold medicine without the hassle, just buy NyQuil. Yes. NyQuil. Or I could just drink Jack Daniels. Blah, da, blah, da, blah. That's from a pharmacist who I guess won't be named. And there's your penis watch, and we'll be back after this.
Take a look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.